How will the European economy weather the latest round of coronavirus restrictions? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Just as people here in the UK were getting used to looser COVID-19 restrictions, they're now going back into place. This morning, the government reversed efforts to get workers back into the office, instead telling them to continue working from home. Later today, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is also expected to announce a 10 p.m. pub and restaurant curfew here in England. The decision follows similar moves by other European nations. Yesterday, Spain ordered more than 800,000 residents in Madrid to stay home. Matthew Loughley, who runs a bar in the capital, says it's bad news for business.
We're shooting in the dark. We're trying to plan for the next couple of months, but obviously things can change in a two-week period. There's a lot of bars and restaurants that haven't reopened, whether out of choice or whether they've just decided, no, it's not worth our while. It really is. It's like the Twilight Zone. It's surreal.
Well, with activity limited again heading into the end of the year, what do these restrictions mean for the Eurozone economy, which contracted 12% between April and June? Michael Hewson, chief market strategist at CMC Markets, weighs in.
I think this was always a concern that a lot of people had about the rebound that we've been seeing over the course of the past 2 or 3 months. Investors have been pricing in a V-shaped recovery. That was never likely, given the approach of the autumn. And I think we are now finally belatedly waking up to the risks that ultimately the recovery that we've been seeing since the March-April lockdowns is probably likely to be slightly longer.
Billions of dollars have been spent by governments and central banks over the last several months trying to shield economies or parts of economies like the hospitality and leisure sectors from the heavy impact of the pandemic. Is there firepower left that governments and central banks can use to revive economies?
There's very little that governments can do in the face of further restrictions. We're already seeing unemployment levels start to head higher. Only this morning, we've seen further announcements of job losses from Whitbread, who own the chain of Premier Inn hotels over here in the UK. Only last week, Alex Cruz, CEO of British Airways, International Consolidated Airlines Group, said the airline was in a fight for survival. And that is really reflected in the respective share prices of these companies. It's no coincidence that we're seeing the biggest sell-offs in airlines, travel, leisure, and some retail stocks over the course of the past 24 hours. And when Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer, says that we're going to have to live with this for at least another 6 months, that doesn't bode well for future levels of unemployment and ergo consumer demand.
Michael Hewson from CMC Markets, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, as Michael Hewson mentioned there, the European travel and leisure sector is under pressure again today, though broader benchmarks are mostly higher after their sharpest drop since June yesterday. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 0.6%. Stocks in Asia ended mostly lower. Well, living with this virus for months now means all of us have found workarounds to in-person meetings. Even fashion designers like Erdem Moralioglu, founder of the label Erdem, which makes frocks worn by the likes of Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle. He went fully digital for his London Fashion Week show last night and described the work that went into it.
My Fashion Week began with filming the show. So I was very determined this season that I would have a show. And we took the decision to have a show, but without an audience. Only 500 people come to the show anyway. You really interact with it more or less online first. And so, in a way, it's still continuing. But of course, the process of creating a collection starts about 6 months before. The pandemic affected everything. It affected how buyers buy the collection. It affected everything from working with an Italian mill or working with a French mill or embroidery in Switzerland. Even receiving packages with post was everything. Every aspect of it was changed and hindered. For us, it was really about a kind of agility and trying to figure out how to adjust the production and how to evolve. And we found ourselves shifting more production to the UK. The resort collection, which I designed entirely in lockdown, and that was doing everything from fittings via Zoom. It was really about kind of thinking on your feet and being able to kind of react quite quickly. And even in terms of selling the collection to department stores in America or in Asia, around the world. It was a minefield to navigate, because you have to imagine that the pre-collections are sold in June, and of course the situation was very difficult in June. You definitely kind of feel acutely independent. That kind of unknownness was something that you felt during this time. And I think that's very interesting, but also something, of course, I'm very proud of.
That's fashion designer Erdem Moralioglu there. In a potential blow to property rental companies like Airbnb, the European Union's top court has today upheld the right for French authorities to block repeated short-term property rentals. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson has that story.
It all started when two Parisian landlords were fined for renting out their studio apartment without prior city authorisation. The landlords appealed the city's decision, and the case went all the way to the European Court of Justice, which today upheld the right of the authorities in France to prevent repeated short-term lets. The court said France's national legislation is compatible with EU law, is proportionate and fulfilled a public interest in combating a shortage of long-term rental properties for housing. 22 European cities have been advocating for stricter rules on rental companies like Airbnb and have accused the firms of helping to inflate property prices by turning residential real estate into vacation rentals. I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.